Hello again. We're coming to you from the trenches. I'm Rita Sand.
Speak out truth to power. Gather friends around you.
The Walk for Justice reaches Chicago. The CTA struggles to accommodate riders with special needs.
CTA does provide a service that is important for people with disabilities.
And what's wrong with the official story of the Oklahoma City bombing? Plenty, according to recently released FBI documents. Stay tuned. After 30 days and 300 miles, the Walk for Justice reached Chicago earlier this month. Participants took their first steps June 7th at the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield and wound through rural Illinois, stopping in many cities and towns, including Peoria, DeKalb, and Batavia on their way to Chicago. The walkers from Voices for Creative Nonviolence used the trek to raise awareness about what they see as five key interconnected issues: ending the war in Iraq, full funding for veteran benefits and the rebuilding of Iraq, ending U.S. participation in torture, a nonviolent resolution to the conflict in Israel and Palestine, and radical reformation of the prison system in the U.S. Walkers stopped to demonstrate at a federal prison on Highway 29. They stopped at the Caterpillar headquarters in Peoria, protesting the special bulldozers they sell to Israel used to destroy Palestinian homes. And they stopped outside the offices of the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, and Senator Durbin, urging them to support the Kerry Feingold bill to remove soldiers from Iraq by the end of 2007. Amid the support of passing vehicles, including a fire truck, Walk for Justice leader Kathy Kelly spoke outside the Heinz VA Hospital at Roosevelt and First Avenue west of Chicago. She said the response throughout her journey, for the most part, was positive.
You know, sometimes along the road, people shout out, "Hippies!" as though that was the worst possible thing you could say to someone. But I know that I'm in a crowd with some people who understand that the 60s weren't so bad. That reforming wrongful activity isn't a bad thing. And actually, I'm very glad to have grown up with that song, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" And "Where Have All the Soldiers Gone?" So many of these soldiers don't come home, whether they're people in Iraq or people from the United States who've died in Iraq. At least we know that your hard work has convinced Senator Durbin to change his mind. He actually called us while we were demonstrating inside his Springfield office. And Senator Durbin has now agreed with Senator Feingold to declare an exit strategy with an exit date in 2006.
This demonstration on June 29th assembled members of Code Pink, Near West Citizens for Peace and Justice, the Oak Park Coalition for Truth and Justice, and others, including Ray Parrish of Vietnam Veterans for Peace.
I've been doing veterans counseling now since 1976, and the one thing that stayed consistent throughout all of that time has been the song, "Where Have All the Soldiers Gone?" And I have to tell you, that's one of my favorite songs because we are where all the soldiers go. There's an extended care facility here, and there's a whole lot of guys there that are never going to be out on the streets independent again. And one of the reasons that so many veterans end up being totally disabled is because of something called post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, for a lot of people who have never been in the military, their understanding is kind of limited, because we all understand that if you go through a trauma, it's going to have a permanent effect on your life. And if that trauma is a war, that means one thing. If it's surviving a hurricane or an earthquake, that's another thing. If it's surviving a rape, that is yet another thing. But for Vietnam veterans and for veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, the one thing that you've got to remember is it's not only what was done to us, not only the trauma that we had to endure that causes PTSD, it's the trauma that we inflicted on other people while we were in uniform. This is a matter of conscience. So whenever I'm doing my counter-recruiting out at high schools, I always try to bring a young vet with me who's been going through the PTSD support groups, and is finding that speaking out is very, very therapeutic. That being able to stand up in front of young people and tell them what he went through so that they learn from his experiences so they do not go through the same thing means that they saved a human life. Every one of you who's marching here, you're saving the lives of the people who are out listening to you. You will never know it. They will never come up to you and say that you have changed my mind. Just like the veterans who went through Vietnam and that talked me out of becoming a pro-war GI and talked me into becoming an anti-war GI, they will never know that they saved my life. They will never know that they made me into a veterans counselor for 30 years. They will never know that all the lives that I've saved over this time, all the encouragement that I have given, was due to them talking, due to them standing up, due to them taking those steps towards becoming an anti-war veteran. So I want those of you who have been marching today to understand that the repercussions of your activities will march down through time for generations. As we stand here today, it's a small group. A year ago, this group would have been even smaller. And a year from now, if we still have to show up here, this group will be double the size it is today. The reason all this is so important to the guys that are on the and the women that are on the other side of this fence is that they know that we speak for them. They are afraid to speak out. They are afraid that they will lose their health care benefits in retribution for speaking out because they see the way the government deals with soldiers who refuse to serve, officers who refuse to deploy, and they are afraid that this government has no morals. They are afraid this government will do anything it wants to because there's no accountability, and I cannot argue that. I cannot argue that this government responds to their needs by increasing VA funding. I cannot argue that this government has the morality to adhere to the Geneva and the Nuremberg principles. I cannot tell them that this government is moral enough to take care of its veterans because it's not true.
That was Ray Parrish with Vietnam Veterans for Peace speaking at the demonstration outside the Heinz VA Hospital west of Chicago. The walk concluded with a vigil on July 5th at MEPCOM, the U.S. Military Entrance Processing Command in North Chicago. And as three participants of the walk entered to read the names of U.S. soldiers and Iraqi citizens who have died in the war, they were quickly arrested and charged with trespassing. An independent freelance writer was also arrested after taking photographs of the arrest while on a public sidewalk bordering the base. We're coming to you from the trenches.
Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
This is Ivory Harris. Recently, one of the biggest news stories here in Chicago was the fire and derailment that occurred on a Blue Line train. According to CBS2Chicago.com, there were 152 passengers taken to 12 hospitals. Many were treated for smoke inhalation. In the story, there are no reports of passengers with disabilities being on the train, but it made me think, what if there were? How would the accessibility of the CTA affect how persons with disabilities would have been evacuated?
Doors closed.
Did you know the voice that you hear on CTA buses and trains is controlled by a satellite system? That was one of the things I learned while investigating the CTA and accessibility. According to the Americans with Disabilities Act, the CTA is required by law to be accessible. That's why the CTA's ADA compliance officer, Christine Montgomery, was at Access Chicago on July 12, 2006. Access Chicago is an annual event in which companies that provide services or products for people with disabilities can present their services or products. Montgomery was there to promote the CTA and accessibility.
This is a way to certainly put our product out there, let people know what our services are and how accessible we are. We are now, of course, 100% accessible on the bus side.
The southbound rail line is currently undergoing construction to make it more accessible. Montgomery said there are no plans to make the rail line northbound more accessible. Montgomery didn't say whether the brown line construction was to make it more accessible, but according to the CTA's website, the brown line is going to have longer platforms and more elevators to make it more accessible. Despite the rosy picture being painted by the CTA, accessibility problems are still an issue. Just last week, 13 elevators were out, including two by my house, which meant a huge delay in producing this story. For questions, comments, and complaints for the CTA, call 1-888-968-7282. For the hearing impaired, the number is 1-888-282-8891. Ah, the sweet sound of a working elevator. From the trenches, this is Ivory Harris.